Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. I just saw where Mark Benda, who's Channel 5, has put out the Titans-Saints game, got a 30.9 TV rating on CBS.
Wow. Nice.
Here locally, that is their highest November game television rating in 11 years.
I believe it.
Since going back to 2010. How about that?
It's awesome. I love that.
2010 against the Dolphins, which was right about the same time of year.
Yeah.
It was right in the middle of the month. But a 30.9. That game got a 31.4. So highest rating for a November game in 11 years.
Well,
how about that?
That's what it should be.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, I mean, the team's 8-2, the number one seed in the AFC.
If you can't make this work, then how are you going to make it work?
And I get it that it's viewing habits are different than they were 11 years ago, obviously. But still, I mean, I think those numbers should be high in this market.
Yep. All right, let's head over to the desk where Elijah Campbell is standing by with NFL zingers.
All right. Well, I prefaced last week's with saying that the NFL was drunk, and in a weird way, it kind of sobered up this week. And we'll start with number one, with the Chiefs. Chiefs offense, shell of itself, all season long. Looked really, really bad at times, you could say. Well, last night they torched the Raiders. So are we sold on the idea that the Chiefs offense is back?
The Chiefs offense back.
I mean, last night they were. But and I think they've played, you know, the defense especially has played better the last few weeks. But, I mean, they've won three in a row now. Mahomes looked more like Mahomes. Tyreek Hill looked more like Tyreek Hill.
Travis Kelce looked good.
Yeah.
He looked really good.
I mean,
they
had 29 first downs.
Their running back made the catch of the year for the team. That was an awesome one-on-one.
I mean, Mahomes going for 406 and 5 touchdowns. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to, you know, not to say that they're back, but I think they made the Raiders look like the frauds that they are. And I think they're just playing with a little more confidence right now. Show me that against a good team, a good defense. You know, does he put those kind of numbers up then?
I guess the question is, are they back? Is that how you phrased it?
Yeah. I mean, they put third.
What is back? Like back to like last year, two years ago?
The last 3 years? They've had the best offense in the league. And
no.
Mahomes was the best quarterback in the league for those 3 years without
No. The answer is no.
Yeah. I mean, Mahomes put up like 166 against Green Bay and 275, which is, you know, not awful against the Giants, but they beat the Giants by 3 points. I get a win's a win, but
this is where they figured it out, though, too, I guess is a better way to phrase the question, because obviously they have not been very good all year long, but those Tom Brady teams in New England would have stretches like that where they just weren't any good for weeks at a time, and then something clicks, and they next thing you know, they end up winning Super Bowls.
Show me what they do against Dallas. Because I think we all agree Dallas is a pretty good team. They got a good offense. Defense has been pretty good, even with their injuries that they have. Show me what they do against the Cowboys.
They've got three guys on defense that are just complete difference makers. Dallas.
Yeah.
Randy Gregory, who I don't believe played yesterday.
No, he's hurt.
Diggs, interception a game. We know that. So that's not good news for Mahomes, who's been giving the ball away a lot. Mm-hmm. And Micah Parsons is just insane. He's ridiculous.
And you had questions on him.
Yeah, I don't have questions anymore.
He's been a stud.
He's been ridiculous.
And and like you said, like,
so those are three very, very impactful players.
And Lawrence has been hurt. Gregory's hurt.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how the Chiefs. So my answer is no. Are they getting better? Yeah, my answer is no. Though. Yeah. They're not back.
I'll say they're improved, but not back.
All right, number two. The Patriots embarrassed the Browns 1 week after the Browns and embarrassed the Bengals. The AFC is wild. They've won now four straight, the Patriots have, and the defense has held their last two opponents to single digits. So are the Patriots doing the old Patriot thing again where they just start clicking defensively?
I say yes. I think that's a pretty good team.
Who they last two games, let's see. Who was under center for the Panthers? Sam Darnold? Baker Mayfield got hurt. Who replaced Baker Mayfield?
Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Case Keenum. Yeah, I'm not ready to declare the Patriots back to being, you know, this shutdown defense. I think they've taken advantage. One, Bill Belichick owns young quarterbacks, right? Or not good quarterbacks. So he's very good at that. He's proven that over the years. We'll see. Like I said, their stretch is coming. Okay, they've got Atlanta this week on the road. Then they have the Titans at home, at Buffalo, at Indy, Buffalo at home. Let's reassess.
Well,
let's reassess what the Patriots' defense looks like after those games.
Okay, but I will say, and I know your counter is going to be, well, they still lost. They should have beaten Dallas. They didn't. I think.
Well, their defense gave up 35 against Dallas.
They did, but they had control in that game. They let Dallas come back and win the game.
Right.
I can make the argument.
That's exactly what Elijah's saying.
I know.
Their defense.
I understand.
Their defense wasn't that great.
And I can make the argument they should have beaten Tampa. They were very much in that
game.
You're
saying they should have beaten Dallas, but their defense let them down. So you're making the case against it.
Like, I understand. But I'm saying if you take those, and this is a dangerous game to play, but if you take those two back, especially, you make a couple of plays here and there and they win those games, then I think we're saying that they very well could be. I don't think they're the Belichick defense of old, but I think especially the last few weeks, they've looked pretty good. Now, like you said, Titans, Bills, two games against the Bills. That's going to be the measuring stick. But even in close games that they lost to Tampa and Dallas, where you can say the defense let them down, I still think they're decent. I think it's a pretty good team as a whole.
I think that the three best defensive games here of late have been against Mike White, Sam Darnold, and a banged up Baker, and then enter Case Keenum. So I need to see more. Incomplete.
Okay.
Incomplete.
Right. Number three, Cam Newton. Back. Speaking of back.
He's back?
He's back.
He let you know he's back. One rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown, and the Panthers throttled the Cardinals on the road. The Panthers are only a game and a half back in the NFC South. The Buccaneers have lost two of their last three to Taylor Heinicke and Trevor Siemian. So do we take Carolina a little more seriously now as a threat to the Buccaneers and the Saints in the NFC South?
You want to go first?
I mean, Their schedule is manageable, kind of. So what are you asking? Are you asking, are they legit?
Are you asking, are they legit?
Are they legit? Especially, they're only a game and a half behind Tampa. They're about
that division's closer than I thought it would be.
It is very close, and Carolina still has both games with Tampa. If they do. One against the Saints, two against Tampa,
mm-hmm. and the Falcons. A lot of division games left.
Got two winnable games the next 2 weeks that you got to take care of. But and Miami and Washington are both coming off wins that nobody had them getting, so. You know, you got to take care of business the next 2 weeks for me to really say that. I think adrenaline is a real thing, and Cam had a lot of that yesterday. Hadn't played, you know, since the preseason, got cut. He's back. Everybody's excited about it, that he's back with Carolina. So, I mean, you can ride that high, and he didn't start. I need to see – with them, I need to see it, you know, full bore, because I – you know, I think they could easily turn around and you see bad Cam again. I mean, I have we forgotten the 1 year in New England and the fact that he got cut for Mac Jones, which that looks like a pretty good decision right now. So
you mean the fact that he's been sitting at home this whole
season? Yeah, nobody's wanted him. Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not ready to declare that they're back or they're contenders. It's a nice win yesterday, but no. I don't think they're – the NFC, we've already talked about it. I've brought this up several times today. The NFC is really, really tough. They are not in the group of good teams in the NFC. They're just okay. They're not horrible. They're not great. They're just kind of down the middle. So with that being said, no.
All right, number four. Part of the sobering up process of the NFL was the Cowboys and Bills avenging some awful, awful losses from last week. Offenses look like themselves again. So which of these teams do you feel more confident in moving forward? And which quarterback do you feel more confident in moving forward between Dak Prescott and Josh Allen?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel more confident in the Cowboys.
No.
I mean, yeah, okay, Homer, whatever. I mean, but it's the right answer. Right now, it's the right answer. With the offense, the way – I mean, Zeke is back. That's the other part of it. They have a run game again. Ezekiel Elliott is playing like Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott is playing like Dak Prescott, playing like an MVP-caliber quarterback. They have Dan Quinn that you brought up several times that's gotten the defense right. And that's all in spite of Mike McCarthy, who I don't think is a great head coach, but he's got the right pieces in play. CeeDee Lamb's a stud. So, yeah, I trust them more than I do the Bills. And I think the Bills are a good team, too. But picking between the two, I trust the Cowboys more.
Ezekiel Elliott ran for – the one who ran for 41 yards yesterday?
Two touchdowns.
See, his last four games, 41 yards rushing, 51 yards rushing, 50 yards rushing, 69 yards rushing.
Nice.
Okay.
I mean, he's doing more than I think than he did last year. And he's got
– By the way, none of those games he had a touchdown until he had two yesterday. Yeah. But
well, you also have a passing attack that is the offense now.
Well, I know, but you said Ezekiel Elliott was back to being Ezekiel Elliott. Did you not?
Did
I mishear that?
No, I did. And okay. I think he is, even though the yards may not be what they have in the past, but it's more of a passing offense now. He's also got – look at his – he had 50 yards receiving against New England, then 23, 25, and 15. So they're using him there. Tony Pollard has been used some.
Tony Pollard almost had the same amount of carries as he did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they've been splitting a lot of the carries. Pollard had 41, 26, 11, 42. He had 11 carries yesterday for 42 yards. So, 56 yards receiving. They're using both.
I think this is you're splitting hairs. I think both of them have good defenses. Both of them have really good quarterbacks. Both of them have good offenses. You're splitting hairs. I would say right now I would trust Dallas a little bit more.
Glad we agree.
Trust Dallas a little bit more, but it's not much. But if you have to pick one, I'll say the Cowboys. Look, both of them are going to be right there. Both of them could easily be in their conference championship games. So, like I said, splitting hairs. Good question, but that's a tough one.
All right. My favorite question, save the best for last. The Lions and the Steelers tied yesterday. Man Campbell breaks the losing streak, technically, for the Detroit Lions. So I'm asking you both, if you had it your way, how would you like to see that god-awful game be decided yesterday if you were given the choice? No one
like
scores after
of a
the
tie?
Overtime period. You get to decide how these awful teams settle that game yesterday because neither one of them really had a desire to win. Jared Goff threw for 53 yards in five quarters of football.
Ben didn't play.
It was bad.
Well, one, I'd get rid of the stupid 10-minute thing. Just play the full quarter. Just play 15 minutes. If you're going to do it that way, or just go to the college rule. Like start at the 40 or whatever and do it that way. But get rid of these damn ties. That's how I'll answer the question. Do the college rule, but start at the 40.
I would like to see them either do like a tug of war or maybe like paintball or something. Just something different. Because I didn't want to see more football from those two teams. Like, no. Like, I don't want to see 15 minutes. I don't want to see 30 minutes. Like, I don't want to see any more. In fact, I never want to see those two teams play again, ever.
Go to kicks, but have the offensive linemen do it.
Ooh, that's
something.
Good.
When you, it's
the
that
coin
bad,
toss of death.
Just do something fun. Do something fun and different, because I don't want to see more football between those two. Because truly, we had seen enough.
You could do the XFL rule where they put the ball in the middle of the field. Have them all run for
70
it.
Minutes was torture. I mean, it was just it was just torture. So I don't know what it is, but something fun, something different. Bring somebody out of the stands. I don't care. Do like a halftime, you know, what you do at halftime.
Somebody out of the stands.
Bring some fans. I don't know. But the answer is not playing more minutes, giving them more time to figure out a winner. The answer is do something stupid, get it over with really quick, and determine a winner, and let's get on with it.
That's fair. I like that. I think I would have just settled with what most of my college professors did, and that's just grade us on a curve, which means give the Lions the win, give the Steelers the loss, give them one because they are really, really bad. So,
but who delivers that? Is that the league that says, hey, we're grading on a curve, we've decided?
Well, someone.
After deliberation,
the
adult
in the room
winner.
Has to stand up and say enough is enough. Pittsburgh's supposed to be a playoff team. This Detroit team is the worst in the NFL. Man Campbell has earned this.
This texter didn't put their name, but this texter may have the winner. Run the Oklahoma drill to decide.
I would be, like I said, anything other than more time played. Like that, anything. I would be in favor of that. Anything. Like they should have came out and said, "You know what? These two teams don't get overtime." Like 60 minutes was enough. We're done. We're done here. Nothing else to see. But I'd be in favor of the Oklahoma drill. How do you win the Oklahoma drill, by the way? Staying on your feet?
Yeah. I mean, it's so isn't that the circle? You get pushed
down,
out of the circle?
Whoever gets knocked down, they lose.
I don't think teams really do it much anymore.
I don't think the
injuries.
Oklahoma drill is done. I hated that drill, by the way. I hated that drill. It's why I quickly got out of the football business. I hated that drill. Yeah, I don't think they don't do. I don't think they do that. Nobody does anymore, right?
No, not.
Do they do that?
I'm sure there are teams that still do it, but I don't know.
They're going to do it now to decide those awful overtime games. So they're going to bring it back.
They're not going to. They're not going to address it. It's going to stay the same. There's still going to be ties. Because they're going to hide behind the that it's one or two a year and yada, yada, yada. It sucks. I hate ties. There should not be ties in pro football. There should not be ties in pro soccer. There should not be ties in anything. Ties should not exist. Period.
What about letting them go to the locker room, take off their pads, just come back out in shorts and, you know, a cutoff shirt, set up like a gladiator course and have them compete that away for the winner?
Good test of endurance.
Yeah. After they've played a game, right?
Flag football game.
Like, that would be fun. That would be interesting. Like, they've played the game, let them go into the locker room, have a, you know, a quick break, set up a gladiator course, let them come back out in shorts and a cutoff shirt, and let them compete that away. But just no more between those two.
Yeah. Okay.
Never again.
Get rid of ties.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Is that it?
That is it.
All right. Good stuff. I like it. I'm glad NFL Zingers is back.
Like Cam Newton.
Yeah.
It's back.
Yes.
NFL Zingers is one of my favorite segments we do.
All right. We will we'll come back with more as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Was Pekka in the house on Saturday?
That was the word on the street that he was there.
Word on the street, huh?
Yeah. Did not I don't know if they showed him or not, but that was it was the word on the street.
Well, he'll be in the house on February 24th.
He sure will.
And 26th.
Yes. I would think he would want to take in the outdoor game. No, guys, I'm going to jet back to Finland.
You know,
thanks.
Thanks for everything. I'm heading back.
I did have a funny moment. Because, you know, I was you on Saturday, so I was getting ready for pregame. But I was helping Ladarius get everything set up on the engineering side. And so I go downstairs and getting the locker room thing set up. And I, all of a sudden, I just hear this, "Hey, sup, Chase?" And I turn, and it's Roman Josi.
Oh, really?
Hey, Captain. How you doing? Good to see you.
Oh, well, he had quite the game.
He did. Fantastic game. I went 2-0 in your absence, so I was, you know, I was glad to keep it going.
The home game, problems if they don't beat it. But that was a nice win in St. Louis.
Really. Very nice. Come from being down 2-0 early in the game. They were down 2-0 at the end of the first period. And to battle back, they score 17 seconds into the second period. Matt Duchene on fire and then take the lead 3-2. And then St. Louis is able to tie it up and go to overtime. But it was nice. It was very good to come out of there with the 2 points.
Yep. If you have not heard, we put this out a little bit earlier. They're headed to Toronto. In fact, they're in the air right now, headed that way, up where Elliot Friedman is. They play the Leafs tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. They were supposed to play Ottawa on Thursday, same time. But doesn't look like that game is going to happen. Looks like the Senators may be taking 3 games off. They got COVID issues.
Yep.
So that looks like, while it has not been made official, all signs, and I mean all signs, are pointing towards that game is not happening. There's been enough people out there that cover the league and Ottawa that have put out on Twitter, they're not going to New Jersey. They're not playing the Predators, and I can't remember the – I think they have the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule as well.
Yeah, Devils, Preds, and Rangers.
Rangers, yeah. Not happening.
Yep.
So it looks like they will be off until Saturday against Montreal. They're supposed to be up in Montreal Saturday, same time again, 6 o'clock.
So Hockey Night in Canada, I believe.
Yep, 3 trips to Canada, and looks like 3 is going to be trimmed down to 2.
Yep, so I'm sure the league will come out with an announcement and a makeup date for that game because, you know, they will play 82 games this year, so trying to get them all in. But we'll keep you posted on that.
Couldn't you say right now, 15 games into the season, you could make a case, Roman Josi back at it again, best defenseman in the league. Could you not make a case for that?
Oh, I think he's made the case for you. I mean, no doubt.
But you know what I mean,
yeah.
Right? Like 15 games in, you could say Roman Josi has picked up where he's left off, right? He's arguably right now best defenseman in the league.
He is a Norris Trophy candidate, no doubt.
Finalist, let's say. Right?
Finalist, yes.
Okay, so that way we can say top three.
Yep.
UC Saros, could you not make a case? He is a finalist for the Vezina.
I could totally
today.
Make Yep.
15 games in.
Could totally make a case
for
it.
Is that a stretch to say? Is
nope.
that crazy?
Nope. Not a stretch at all for either one of those guys.
You could also say 15 games in. That Duchesne is going to have 30 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Or more.
He's been.
Would you be willing to go there? With what? 67 to go. 67 games to go.
He's
check
at 9?
By the way, always check my math.
He's at 9? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely doable right now for him to get to 30. No
basically,
doubt.
Basically. Yeah.
Which he did. He last did splitting between, I guess, Colorado and Ottawa in 18-19. He had 31.
31 was his best season? I knew it was right around, right at that number. Is that right?
Yeah.
31 is his best number? So today, would you be willing to say there's a chance he has his best season ever?
I would say there is a very good chance of that.
Could you imagine if we had this conversation a month and a half ago? Would I mean... The Yossi Saros thing, that isn't really – I mean, that's not, you know, going on a limb, but it's now reality. Like, you've seen it now for 15 games, and now you're willing to bet on it, right? Like, yeah, absolutely. I could see them absolutely being finalists for those two. The Matt Duchesne one, you couldn't get anybody to sign up for.
Mm-mm.
But it is a reality today, sitting here today.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to give credit to his whole line. I mean, Mikael Granlund has been tremendous, too. Of, you know, I'm glad to see him get a goal the other night, but those two, that chemistry has been amazing. But it's – and I had Robbie on pregame for the St. Louis game, and we both agreed, and I think, you know, you would agree with this, too, of the goals are, you know, it's – hockey's a streaky game. That's just what it is. So the hot streak is going to cool off eventually. So when it does, what does he look like? You know, is he still distributing the puck? Because Duchesne has he's also got 7 assists, so he's been helping out there too for 16 points. You know, what does he do when the puck's not going in the back of the net? That's what I want to see. But he's been doing all the right things, working hard, and he's getting rewarded for it. But, you know, how consistent can he be throughout the rest of the year?
Okay, let me try this one on. Try this one on you here. Tanner Jeannot, would you sign up today to say he's the new Craig Smith of this team? In other words.
20-goal scorer.
20-goal scorer every year.
Yes, I would sign up for that today.
You feel confident?
I especially feel confident for this year, but yeah, I mean, that's what he feels like. It feels like he's that type of player. With a little more grit to his game than Craig had.
Well, I bring up the Craig Smith because Craig Smith did it year in and year out. Do you feel, I mean, Tanner Jeannot's what, 24? Are you willing to sign up? That like this year is a no, I think it's really, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm asking you, do you think Tanner Jeannot moving forward, are you willing to say that he can do this year in and year out? Not be a one-year
yeah, I mean, right now,
15-game wonder last season.
Right now, because he's shown, even though it was a small sample size last year, he has shown great growth from that to now. And so if that continues, then I would say, yeah, he's going to be a 20-goal scorer.
Well,
you know,
actually,
20 goal
you
scorer.
Say that, great growth. But I would tell you right now, it's actually the same. Because if you think about it, he had 5 goals last year in 15 games.
They've yeah, but 15 I think you
games
see.
This year. How many goals does he have?
5.
Yeah.
That's true. But I think you're seeing just his overall game. Like, he seems much more confident. And, you know, even when he's away from the puck, I think that there's some growth in his game. But you know, you're asking more for just goal scoring.
Yeah, so. I agree with you. But I'm specifically asking, do you think in the goal scoring department he can be a 20 goal scorer a year? Year in and year out. Not one year. But can he keep is that like everybody who would honestly I can't imagine that somebody out there would be like, nah, he's not gonna get to 20 this year. I mean, if you feel like he's going to get hurt and he's going to be out for an extended period of time, okay, I'll grant you that. But if he's playing 67 more games, I mean, really? The way he's been playing, that he's not going to score at least 15 more goals? I would find that that's a hard one to say. Nah, I don't see that happening. But I want to know, can he keep doing it? That's what I think is interesting. Can this be something that this is what Tanner Chenault is? Which is what we grew to, you know, that's what Craig Smith was, right? He was a 20 mm-hmm. or more goals a year guy. Every year you knew you could count on him.
I'm curious to see what he does because, you know, John Hines has moved him around some. He's been playing with Ryan Johansson and Phil Tomasino. I like that line. I think that's a good setup. But, you know, where he had a lot of success was with the Herd. With the beast line, like so playing with those guys. But now you got the OG beast line that's back together with Olivier back in the lineup. So how does Jeannot adapt to getting more minutes and getting more responsibility and, you know, playing up in the lineup? I think he's going to be fine, but it's obviously something that you want to see, you know, in the long term, what it looks like.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other one. Any other wrinkles I could throw in there? You got anything?
Just talking about, you know, big picture things.
Mm-hmm. Something you'd be willing to sign up for today.
Well, Ryan Johansson is
playoff team?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I was thinking just more individuals. Like Ryan Johansson, you know, has 5 goals mm-hmm. right now. You willing to say he gets to 20?
Best season as a Predator?
Could very well be. Now, his sweet spot is always, since he's been with the Preds, has been 14-15. That's where he's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's certainly on pace. You know, he's got more goals than assists right now, which is unusual for him.
Mm-hmm.
So his best season points-wise was 18-19, 64. Had 61 in 16-17. I could see it. I could see this being the best year if he keeps this up. But I still kind of wonder if it's going to be around that 64, 65 mark. 71's his career best.
Yeah, I think to say, will he have his best, most goals that he's had since he's been a member of the Predators, I think that's pretty easy to predict. But I think when you get to the 20 goals, can he get 20 or more? I think that's where it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm. But he's putting himself in the right spot, you know, to get those. He's shooting it more. I mean, again, his overall game is just better.
Okay,
is where
yes,
it needs to be.
Yes or no? Predators sign up for Predators will finish the season top 5 power play unit in the league.
Oh. Man, 15 games in, you're asking that question. I'm going to say slightly no. I think it could fall off a little bit.
Okay. Can the Predators finish the season a top 10 power play unit in the league?
That I'll sign up for.
Yep.
I'll say yes.
Yep, me too. I would say no.
Top 5 is pushing it,
top
but I think
10,
top 10, yeah.
Sign up for that. I can see that.
Playoff team? I'll say yes. And I already thought that going into the season they were a fringe. You know, they were kind of on the fringe. I wasn't necessarily buying they were going to be one of the worst in the division, but I also said that their key is going to be if you have Duchesne and Johansson playing the way that they should play, then they would certainly be a playoff team. And right now we're seeing that.
The tricky part right now is you just can't imagine. Like, Colorado and Dallas are not currently in the playoffs.
No, and that's
and
going
so
to.
So I don't think anybody's going to sign up that Colorado's not going to. You know, maybe they don't. I don't know. But I don't think anybody's going to buy that today. So there's a spot. That's currently not, you know, that's currently occupied by somebody else that's going to get pushed out. And I think you probably feel the same about Dallas, right? That probably they're going to make their way into the playoff picture. This, and it's very, very early into the season. And remember, Colorado's only played 12 games. I mean, right? Three games in hand between Nashville and Colorado. So Dallas has, I think, played 13 games. So I think that's where it gets tricky is I think most people would say two teams that are currently on the outside looking in will probably make their way in to the playoff picture.
I think that's fair.
Which will push two out. The question is, who are the two that gets pushed out between Minnesota, Winnipeg, Nashville, and St. Louis? I'm not a believer in St. Louis.
I'm still not a believer in St. Louis.
I know they've had a nice start. But they've dropped their last two at home to the Preds and Edmonton. I'm just not a believer in them. So I would say that they get pushed out. There's one I feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
I also feel pretty good about telling you about Creation CBD.
Ooh,
every day.
Well done.
You know, because they present our show, and we're very, very happy about that. And they've really helped the show and helped me. And I'll tell you how they've helped me. Because if you, like me, have aches and pains from time to time, you know, on different body parts, I'll tell you what, that tends to happen, you know, as we get older. And you've been searching for a solution like me, well, how about Creation CBD? They've helped me and they can help you. Creation means healing. And that right there says a lot. Creation is locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final sale, Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use and for pets too. That has certainly changed, been a game changer in our household. Our female German Shepherd has had medical issues for 3+ years. She has had lots and lots and lots of seizures, and all the vet visits and all the pills that we've had her on daily hasn't really changed anything. But since we've put her on a pet tincture from Creation CBD, seizures have gone away. She's been more active. She's lost weight. And she has just been a totally different dog. So if you have something like that going on in your house, I highly recommend you look into this. You can order yours right now at creationcompany.com. Creation CBD, curated for life. We're about to say goodbye, but not yet. RLJ Nashville on Twitter tweets at us and says, good show, guys. Regarding the Raiders and Chiefs, Andy Reid and Chucky are tight, dating way back to the Green Bay days with Favre. Could Chucky and Andy have discussed how to beat the Raiders before the game?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
I think Chucky's probably just hanging out at his house right now and not talking to many people.
Staying on the DL?
Yeah. If I had to guess. I know they are close. I mean, they coached together for a good while in, you know, different in Green Bay, I guess. But I would say that probably not. I don't think that was a thing.
But he would know how to beat the Raiders.
He would.
I would think.
He did it himself a few times.
He did. Wow, nice line.
Thank you.
Wow. Julio Lugo?
Yeah, that's sad news.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I just saw that about 10 minutes ago.
Wow.
Tomorrow was to be his 46th birthday and died of a heart attack today.
Oh, my gosh.
So, former Brave. Played for the Braves briefly. 2011,
good player.
I think. Yeah.
Good player.
Won the World Series.
I did not know
the Red Sox,
that.
So 46.
It's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. So, you know, you see things scroll through the timeline, and I saw his picture and like his name. I'm like, oh, no, what is that? And clicked on it. And This is sad news. The Red Sox put it out there.
I got a text on my text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and I was unaware of this. But apparently today the Cleveland Guardians merchandise was expected to go on sale this morning.
It didn't happen. But it hasn't.
It didn't happen. Retailers were notified that the launch has been postponed without any explanation.
Now, I do know they've taken all the Indians stuff down at
But remember, I read the story. They're still selling the stuff for charity and will continue. Like, it's not like we're selling it till everything's gone. No, we're going to continue selling it and giving it to charity.
The Cleveland baseball team. Going to be fun.
And then the texter followed up by saying, roller derby won. What a mess that is.
Yep, a little bit.
That'll do it for our show today. Good stuff. Good way to start off the week. We'll continue this thing on. Hey, the two pro teams here in town are red hot. We'll continue discussing their paths. We'll have David Poyle join us tomorrow. Maybe we'll learn a little bit more about this potential game against Ottawa and what the official announcement will, if there will be an official announcement made here coming soon. Have a great rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.